Hello and welcome to the Creative Consciousness Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are your hosts, Sam and Cabrini Greco, coming to you live from beautiful planet Earth. Throughout our conversation, we will be covering topics such as spirituality, global consciousness, metaphysics, and where you think we're truly headed. We have a great show to share with you today, so bookmark us and receive reminders. And you can visit our website at alltruenatural.com.
Good morning and good afternoon, wherever you are on planet Earth. We are Creative Consciousness Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio, and we have an incredible show coming your way tonight. But before we get to introducing our next guest, we would just like to send out an incredible amount of blessings and love to each and every one of you that are supporting the spiritual community at large. We present this show as a means of bringing forth the information of the new, of those individuals that are living spiritually purposed lives. So with that, we want to welcome you to our show. We want to thank you for being in our chat room. And wherever you are on planet Earth, we stand in oneness with you, in the goodness of who you are, and we bring forth with you new light, new ways, new information to really support your overall journey, your own individual path, and your own awakening. So with that, I'm going to introduce to you my beloved, Sam, and he's going to take a moment to tell you about a little bit about our guest this evening.
All right. Thank you very much, Brini, for that introduction. Hello, everybody. Blessings. Welcome back to our show. Today's February 24th, 2015. Our guest this evening is Russell Scott from Guelph, Ontario, Canada. And I'll read a brief introduction about him, and then we'll go with our great conversation. Russell Scott, for over 30 years, through his retreats and one-to-one mentorship, Russell has helped thousands of individuals experience and live from the spaciousness, joy, and deep fulfillment of their true nature and purpose in life. He is one of the new generations of No Dogma spiritual teachers and is the author of the book Awakening the Guru in You. I love that title. Recently, in his 11 years as the owner of the Ecology Retreat Center near Orangeville, Ontario, Canada, he pioneered programs in green building, sustainable living, and personal growth. He says he met more spiritual teachers than one can shake a Zen stick at, and as a result developed a keen radar for teachings that either create dependency or liberation. All this has led him to write the critical acclaimed book, Awakening the Guru in You, and become well-known across Canada as one of the new generation of No Dogma spiritual guides, who helps the growing number of independent seekers, spiritual non-followers, and mystic misfits live from a deep connection to beauty, inner strength, and magnificence of their true selves. For 30 years, Scott has presented over 100 retreats and done thousands of hours of clearing in the process he calls the co-evolution. People in his retreats frequently report falling off their chairs and in paroxysms of laughter when they experience who they really are. And I know what that means. Welcome, Russell Scott, to our show this evening. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you, and I'm so pleased and excited to be here. This is really wonderful. It's just a joy to be part of what you're doing. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thanks for taking the time. We had a wonderful conversation over the phone before the show a few days ago, and we're blessed to know another individual who's living a spiritually purposed life. Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I want to ask you, Scott, what kind of people are drawn to your work and who want to work with you?
I think the what I would call the people, I call them the independent spiritual seekers. I think you mentioned like the mystic misfits or the spiritual non-followers. They're the kind of people who You know, they're spiritually seeking, but they're not interested in following a religion or a gurus and dogma kind of give them a bit of a rash.
Yeah.
And these people are, you know, seriously wanting to experience the truth for themselves. They want to go beyond belief to more of a direct experience. And so they tend to be, you know, spiritually seeking by themselves. And, you know, my hope is that, you know, I can help them find what's true for themselves, but they don't have to do it alone. And the work that I do really is... goes with that motto, you know, that we have to do it by ourselves, but we don't have to do it alone.
You're right. You know, that's the second, I just want to intervene here, that's the second time we heard that today about, you know, you don't have to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's quite a message for today's people who are living a spiritually purposed life. There's, you know, people out there, and one of them is, you know, yourself who help, you know, people on their path. I think it's a great thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think many of us over the years have, like, hidden in the closet, and we, you know, we don't want to confess that we're really interested in opening up to, you know, the greater mystery of life, and because we might be thought of as weird. But fortunately, there's a lot of us coming out of the closet right now. So, you know, we really don't have to do it alone anymore.
Oh, yeah, it's there's such a quickening happening. I want to hear, Russell, I also want to hear about, you know, we spoke and you said you had an awakening experience of universal dynamic that you call now co-evolution that you draw from in your work. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, it actually was a combination of two awakening experiences that basically deepened, and one happened when I was about 16 or 17, living in a town on Lake Superior, north of Lake Superior in Ontario, called Thunder Bay, and I used to go out in the forest a lot, and remember one time I was looking over a large cliff to this feature in the bay. It's called the Sleeping Giant, and it's a peninsula that when you look at it, it looks like somebody laying down. And anyway, I remember one point I looked at a tree, and I felt myself in the tree, and I thought, this is weird. What am I doing over there? And then I put my attention on the cliff, and I felt my sense of self there. And I thought, well, this is weird. How come I'm over there? And then I put my attention on the sky, and it was just like I expanded. And I just felt myself everywhere. And I didn't quite understand what happened to me because, you know, I wasn't involved in any spiritual path. And so I thought it was unusual. And so I just kept it to myself. And then when I was 22, I joined this order called the Rosicrucian Order.
Oh, yeah.
And during one of the meditations, that whole experience came back. But what I experienced was I just felt this oneness, and that oneness was myself. You know, it wasn't like separate from me. I wasn't part of a oneness. I was it itself. You know, you might say, you know, someone might say they're God, they're the oneness, they're the Great Spirit. I felt that that I was that oneness, but also, it became clear that there was this. Act in creation where that oneness split off into individual onenesses. You know, it's like there were all these individual gods that were the same God as I was. And that was necessary so that we could all relate together and communicate. And in that relation of ourselves, in that communication, in this kind of eternal relating to one another, we became more conscious of that oneness. So it was like we needed to be in an individual form and relate as individuals in order to become more conscious of ourselves. And so I called that later on in my life when I started writing the book, I called it co-evolution, meaning that we evolve in consciousness as the result of relating to one another. it's not a separate thing that happens. We don't evolve in separation. We evolve in relationship to one another. And that is like, it's going on like all the time. In every single interaction we have with others, there is this co-evolution that's happening on a kind of an incremental level. But, you know, when you look at this over eons, you can see that there's this evolution happening. So that was my experience, and that's the basis of my work, is co-evolution.
Yeah, that's a remarkably brilliant wisdom you received by your experience. Now, can I ask you, Russell, when you were in the experience of this oneness, was this experience beyond your personality, beyond the human Russell?
Oh, yeah, it's like, Russell, this, you know, Russell character and all his history just ceased to exist. You know, my, you might say the ego or my sense of, you know, myself being this guy from Thunder Bay just disappeared. And it was like I became the everything that was also nothing. You know, it was like I entered this space where there was nothing that defined me. But at the same time, there was this pure potential, you know, this creative aspect of myself to just be anything. But I, you know, there was nothing that defined me. I was, you know, I wasn't really separate from anything.
Right.
There was no sense of separation from anything because I was that unity. Right. But at the same time, there was this aspect of creation of that we're all, in one sense, individuals. But that individual is not meaning the ego or the personality. It's just that meaning that we are that oneness in individual form without ego.
Yeah, that's great wisdom. Russell, have you ever encountered someone where you explain this to someone who is rather new to this and they almost feel afraid to let go of their personality? Have you ever run across people where you tell them this experience where Russell, you know, wasn't there, this character? Have you met anybody who
said,
I think
that's one of the fears on the spiritual path is when people go into this direct experience of self, of this oneness, or, you know, getting that they aren't this their personal history, and then they come out of it, you know, the great fear is that they will cease to exist. And in actual fact, what the fear is that they will cease to exist as, you know, as their personality in their personal history. And, you know, over time what happens is the true self starts to show up even more in their life, and they realize, oh yeah, well yeah, this is who I really am. At some point, they kind of get that this false personality needs to disappear, and the true self starts to fill that void. In actual fact, it doesn't really fill the void. It assumes its natural sovereignty in our life, and the false self just gradually, to one degree or another, just depending on a person's enlightenment, begins to dissolve and fade away.
So we can say that people have a more sense of self beyond their personality.
That's right. Yeah, they have a greater sense of this self that, is whole and complete and perfect within itself. There's no separation within it. And there's nothing inherently wrong or needs to be improved. It's the one that defines everything about itself. You know, it's the one that innocently, created a personality and defined itself by, I'm not good enough, I'm no good, I can't get what I want, you know, all these kind of false identifications. And then, you know, we can get to this point where we realize, oh, you know, I'm not defined by those attitudes about myself. I'm the one that defines myself, and that's the true self.
Yeah, that's great wisdom that you share with humanity. And, you know, we're honored to have you here and sharing this with us as well.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, I love the title of your book, Awakening the Guru in You, and it reminds me of a Native American saying, and it was simply, the leader is within. And it kind of goes hand in hand with that. Can you tell us a little bit about the statement, you know, Awakening the Guru in You, and your website?
That's really part of my mission is to help people find what's true within themselves and realize that whether they have a guru or not, that the everything that they, any kind of belief system that they encounter, you know, they have their own internal gyroscope, so to speak, or their internal compass that decides whether it's true or not by themselves. That internal distinguishing mechanism is the truth within themselves, the guru within themselves. And so the work that I do has this great belief that we can experience the ultimate truth for ourselves. And the guru, if we want to take on a guru, is certainly a crutch along the way that we need. The guru points the way, but the belief that we get from gurus, the beliefs that we get from gurus, is not the truth itself. It's just a description. And so many of us on the spiritual path get caught up in, thinking that the menu is the food or the directions to, the top of the mountain is the top of the mountain.
Right.
And so my work is really to help people have that direct experience of their true nature of life and self and others for themselves. The same kind of experiences that are written about in, ancient texts and modern texts. People can have those experiences for themselves.
Absolutely. It's everywhere in ancient texts and modern texts. And I love the wisdom you bring forth regarding, everybody's, the individual within the whole. And we also have that same type of feeling and thinking combined where all of us are unique and we can, our uniqueness is divine. That part of our uniqueness is divine and we contribute to each other and to humanity. And I really like how that coincides with the work that you do. And Russ, I want to ask you, how did this all start for you? When did it all start for you regarding, was it a point where you said, okay, I want to help humanity with this, with what I'm experiencing. Can you tell us, how long ago that was and how that started, that decision you made?
Yeah, I think there was a defining moment, I guess when I was in my late 20s, and it was kind of we're in the midst of the New Age, and a friend of mine and I, we were just kind of cynical about, all this New Age stuff that was coming out, and so we decided to start our own religion, and it was kind of funny, we just made up stuff, and we decided we'd have a saint, a non-material saint that we would worship called Saint Twinkle, and we called ourselves the Twits of Saint Twinkle. And we would wear bags over our heads and meditate, and we would say we had this mantra which was Om Sili Man, Om Sili Man, and we just had a great time. It was really funny. But what started to happen is we said, well, let's do some channeling. So we started to do some channeling, channel Saint Twinkle, and what started to happen was we actually started to say some really wise things that we didn't even know about. Like, we actually feeling like we made up this saint, this non-physical being, and we were actually channeling it. And what started to happen, started to get really weird. We started to feel that this entity that we created was around us all the time. And at one point, I started to realize, holy man, if we can create, just the two of us can create this experience of this holy presence, what about like thousands and millions of people believing in religious doctrine? What are they creating?
Right.
And so I started to realize, like, holy man, like the power of dogma is incredible on the planet. And like we're seeing it in the Middle East, for instance, you know, how people are killing one another because they believe, you know, that, you know, if I kill this infidel, I'm going to go to heaven. And this is insane dogma. And so I went into this kind of depression. I just realized I don't know a thing. And I don't think too many other people really know what the truth is. And
right.
so it became for me this quest, okay, I don't know a thing. I don't know a damn thing. I threw away all my books. I refused to see any more spiritual teachers. And it was then I decided to find the truth for myself. And then I came across this retreat called the Enlightenment Intensive, which I now facilitate, called the Coming Home Retreat. And it was on that retreat that I had further awakening experiences through a process of self-inquiry, where people help one another self-inquire. And there's no dogma and taught. It's just purely self-inquiry. And after that retreat, I said, you know, I found something here. This is amazing and it's phenomenal. People are having these awakening experiences that I was reading about in spiritual books, the ones I threw away. And I said, you know, I don't know what I can do to solve this problem of dogma in the world, but I'm going to do the little I can. And there was a decision back then. And I don't think I've gone back on that. That was about 30 years ago I made that decision, and I've kept up with it.
How did you come up with your, like, the platform as to, like, the groundwork for your work? Was that also channeled? Was it kind of like a divine thought, the manner and the platform in which you help people?
Well, I've received some training in it. There was a man in 1967 named Charles Berner, and he came up with this original concept of what I call now assisted self-inquiry, and where people would, you know, sit across from one another, and one person would ask another person, you know, a Zen koan, like, tell me who you are. And so instead of going into a Zen meditation, people doing that in solitary, they would go into their quiet space, and then whatever they came up with when they contemplated this question, who am I, they would communicate to their listening partner. And the listening partner is just there providing their presence. And it turned out that just having that presence, that energetic presence of another person, helps that inquirer to go deeper into their contemplation. And the communication then of what they came up with in their meditation would tend to clear away much quicker the barriers in the mind to awakening, and also help a person become more clearer on the truth that they were coming up with. So I trained in that method for number of years, and there was also a method of working one-to-one with people called clearing that I trained in. And you know, since that time, I've added aspects to the retreat, and supported people a lot more in the process. One of the things that's often missing in retreats is what happens not during the retreat, which is very important, but what happens after the retreat.
Yeah.
A lot of people do retreats, and then after the retreat, they've have these powerful experiences, and they go back into their life, and there's not support for them. So one of the things that I've added in the whole structure is a support program that I call the Enlightenment Program that help people live more from their true self. So a lot of it came from the training I received from Charles Berner's student, But at the same time, a lot of it has also just come from the trial and error, blood on the path, getting banged up, learning from it, and my own intuition.
Yeah, that's amazing how you're, you know, it's such a fulfillment to hear you say that you're available for people, you know, when they're finished with the retreat, and you're available for them as to assisting them or being a part of their experience after, you know, their retreats. I think that's another, you know, wise move on your end. As far as helping people.
Yeah, I think there's a misconception that when people have an awakening experience, that's kind of the end of the spiritual path. Like people think, well, you know, now I know who I am. That's the end. It's actually the beginning. It's actually the beginning of living more now, instead of from a false self, from a true self. And oftentimes these awakening experiences are not like 100% full. They're partial awakening experiences, and they dislodge portions of the mind. And so people, you know, go through difficulty because they're not so identified with their mind. They realize that they happen to have a mind. They're not their mind. And so the mind will start to dissolve. The mind will start to fall apart gradually. And these pieces of the mind will start to come up into people's lives and consciousness. And people can have difficulty dealing with them. So I think it's really vitally important for spiritual teachers to support people through that, you might call it purification process, after these awakenings occur.
Yeah, that's great stuff you're saying. I want to talk a little bit about your book too. How did you start your book? Was it a process? Was it a channel? When you started writing, did it take, you know, was it something that you wrote and then stopped for a little while, continued? Was it some kind of project you had in mind? Can you tell us
it's interesting how that came about. I never really thought I was an author. I kind of, you know, went kicking and screaming writing this book. You know, in fact, you know, most of my life I've resisted being a spiritual teacher. You know, I've just, you know, like, you know, please leave me alone. Like, I just want to work at Canadian Tire Hardware store and that's it. But I just kept getting pushed into this. And so the book came about I started to see in other groups that they were using this process of people sitting across from one another, this assisted self-inquiry method. I started to see that other groups were using this, but they weren't using it correctly, and so people were feeling unsafe. People were, they'd communicate, and people would judge them or comment on what they would said. And so I started to feel like, you know, I'm very protective of this process that I had learned. And so I said, well, you know, I got to write a manual for this. So I want to get it out there so that people will use this process correctly. And then what started to happen was, as I was writing it, it became clear that, you know, it just started to happen that I started to write about the nature of the spiritual path, what the spiritual path is, you know, some of the pitfalls, you know, how we can get off the spiritual path and think we're on it, but we're not. Mm-hmm. We go up to dead ends. You know, how we can get deceived by gurus. Basically, you know, how we can become a conscious spiritual seeker. So there was a lot of writing in that, as well as describing this coevolution process, this method of assisted self-inquiry. So the first part of the book is all about how to become a more conscious spiritual seeker if you're going to be seeking by yourself. Mm. And the second part is then describing this process that I use and how people can you know, do it on their own. So my hope is that once people read the book, they can go, I have a friend. Let's get together and sit across from one another and do this process and have insights and let go of some of the things we've been holding on to in life. So, you know, my hope is that, you know, that there are living rooms, you know, across North America where people are just sitting across from one another and waking up. And they're not doing it so much under the influence of, you know, pretty restrictive hierarchical belief systems.
Right. Yeah, well, we know for the last, I would say, 5 years has been a great awakening, you know, in general with people, even just to be more aware of their surroundings. That's you know, coming to fruition now. I want to let the listeners know that they can call in. The number, area code is 267-521-0151. If you have any questions for us or Russell, our guest, you can also check out the chat room, and you can also ask, you know, questions in the chat room as well if you don't want to call in. Russell, I want to ask you something. What does it take to become? What would it take for the individual? Can you say it would be in their will to do this for themselves? Can you talk about will versus co-evolution?
You know, I think there's a certain, you know, for a certain part of the spiritual path, there's a combination between will and surrender. And I think at first the spiritual path starts with a lot of will, and you know, people desiring to overcome their suffering. They want to find out what's going on in their life. Why is things not working out? Why am I suffering so much? And there's a willful process there. And for some people, it then goes deeper. Okay, so I'm suffering. What's really going on personally in my life? And then it goes deeper. You know, they're willfully trying to find out, okay, well, why is there this suffering? You know, and who am I under this suffering? And it's drawn by wanting to get away from the suffering. But eventually, it's when you start having these insights, then this becomes really, you know, insights very tasteful. And it's like, I want more of this. Like, I remember when I had my awakening experience, I went like, this is incredible. I just want more of this. This is totally freeing, and
right.
It's totally nourished me. And so then one's will gets directed towards more towards the awakening experience rather than getting away from suffering. And at some point what starts to happen is you start to realize, you know, if I'm going to get into these deeper levels of awareness, I'm just going to have to kind of surrender to the way things are. And you start to realize that a problem that we have in our life is not so much with the way things are, it's the way we're resisting the way things are. That our resistance to things causes life to stop flowing. And when we can just surrender more to the way life is and it starts to flow, life just works out. There's no will involved. We're not forcing life to work out. It's this natural process of evolution that happens where things work out, we have insights. And I'm sure you experienced that when you were on your trip. You know, you just kind of surrendered. And I read about your trip, and that sounds incredible.
Absolutely. When you surrendered,
and things worked out in your favor. You had all these wonderful experiences. And, I'm sure at some point you weren't willing things to happen.
You're right.
And I think this is more an advanced state in the spiritual path where you start to surrender more, not resist, let things be. You know, a certain amount of will is involved in there, of course. You know, like if you're going to have a radio show,
sure.
You know, you got to do things. You just can't let it happen. Right?
But I know when you surrender, I always get to the saying that life shows up. You know, life does show up when you surrender. And I think, you know, one of the hard things for people living a spiritually purposed life is to start surrendering, you know, the idea of their material world as much. When we went on tour, you know, we that was part of our feeling, is to surrender that part of our material world. And
yeah,
you know, what an experience it was for, you know, for over 2 years. Yeah, so I'm
I mean, I really admire you for that. I mean, it's been something I'm sure a lot of people would want to do what you did. You know, I would have loved to have done that.
I admire you as well for doing your work. It's all spirit, you know. I always tell people, we always share that everybody's on their own path and their own pace. And the language, the internal language, is perfect for the individual, for each individual.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Certainly we share that point of view. I really love what you said about we've all got our own unique gifts, and I think we live in a consumer society where everything's the same,
right?
And we have a reluctance to present our uniqueness, but we're called in many ways to discover what our calling is that's unique to us, and certainly that's a challenge. But every one of us has some unique trait, skill, ability, a gem within ourselves that the collective, you know, the union of all needs.
Right.
And I think sometimes on the spiritual path, with this whole emphasis on getting into the oneness and the wholeness, we forget the individuality that's there, which is our uniqueness that, we all want from one another. We don't want the sameness.
Right. A lot of people get that, you know, not a lot of people, but, you know, we've ran into people where, you know, we would use the word oneness and, they were defaulted to sameness as being the same.
Yeah. So I love that. Yeah.
So I like how you said that, you know, you kind of say it on your own end there, too, but about our uniqueness, that the collective almost requires it or what wishes it to happen.
Yeah. I call it the you and I verse. The you and I verse. And so if there's this union, but within the union there's also the individuality that's as well. And it's this kind of mysterious paradox. That we're all that oneness. Each one of us is that oneness. And so we're one and the same, the oneness, as well as the one, individual. I think this is part of the paradox that we're all working through on the spiritual path.
Russell, tell me a little bit about listening inside. How would you suggest that?
I think there's many different methods for it. The method that I have evolved to is just basically sitting with myself and allowing whatever needs to reveal itself to come to me. So, and lots of times it's just body sensation. It might be emotion or, and letting that be. And at the same time, not kind of wallowing in it or just getting taken away by it, but by adding consciousness to it. So it's like sitting and noticing what's there, but also inquiring. With this question, you know, what is this?
Yeah.
In other words, what's the truth or what is this? And consciousness itself has this quality of interest or investigation. Anytime
that's true,
we put our attention on something, there's always this sense of interest. It's a quality of consciousness. And so...
Yeah.
Basically, this is what I do when I'm sitting by myself, and then when people are working together, it's you're doing the same thing together, except you're just relating what you come up with to the listening partner, and that relating of it tends to accelerate the process of letting go of what's not real, and also strengthening what is real.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's really the simple process that I've evolved to, and I think it's a process in Zen too that you can read about. You know, they just call it just sitting. You know, when you're sitting, just sit, don't wobble.
There is a courageous curiosity and interest in consciousness. I totally relate to that. It's fearless. The interest and the curiosity is fascinating to consciousness itself, you know, with every unique person and in their uniqueness. Awakeningtheguruinyou.com. This is Russell's website. I suggest you check it out. I'm browsing through it right here as well. And the header is, are you an independent seeker trying to find your way? Russ, I'm going to read a quote here from one of your testimonials. Do you mind if I do that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here it is. In quote, I have been working to become balanced in body, mind, and spirit. In the process, I came up against a wall of deep-seated old fear that I was unable to source on my own. I think this happens a lot with people. To continue the quote, I contacted Russell Scott to assist me. Over a weekend, I had 5 mind-clearing sessions with him. Russell helped me get to the root of my blocks. I was impressed by his ability to work intuitively and gently to help me understand the fear that I was allowing to keep me frozen in time. Thank you, Russell, for helping me move within my life passion. Isn't it amazing, Russell, these beautiful gifts we get when we help people? It's not like we do it for the gifts. It's just these, like, for instance, this testimonial must really touch you inside, you know.
Yeah, for a while it was having people write those testimonials was really important for me because it gave me the confidence that, you know, that I could do, that I say to people, I can do what I do. So now I know that when people come to me, I can help them. You know, if they take my retreat, you know, I can help them, motivate them to get awakened. Like, I know I can do all of that. And it's now kind of got to the point where it's just, that's what I am. You know, I don't have the motivation to make things happen or, you know, have a particular career. You know, like people will say they're a banker or whatever. You know, to a certain extent, I am a spiritual teacher, but it's not something I do anymore in my life. It's more like that's who I am. That's part of my nature. So it's kind of like when you play the piano, there's this inherent fulfillment that comes from, you know, playing the piano. Mm. Or there's an inherent fulfillment in, like, reading a book and becoming more aware. You know, there's no like kind of external reward where you get paid a lot of money or you get paid your rent. Now, mind you, I'd love it if my rent was paid because my landlord liked who I was. But it's more like, this is just who I am. And I just love it when, you know, I'm working with people and I have this certain amount of skill and they break through. They let go of something they've been holding on for years. And then in retreats where, you know, I just suddenly see them wake up and they're just laughing they're just laughing out loud about how so simple it was that they've missed themselves all their life. And, you know, we share, it's just the most amazing kind of joke that you can share with another person who finally gets the punchline that the person that they've been looking for is the one that's been looking. And, you know, it really is, I am so happy to be doing, I feel really blessed to be doing what I'm doing.
It gets very comical.
And, you know, by the way, if people want to go to my website, I have a free download there. It's called the Path of the Independent Spiritual Seeker. And so they can learn a little bit more about what I do. So
yeah,
that's a free download.
Check out the website, awakentheguruinyou.com. And I'm looking at it right now, free download, Independent Seeker's Guide, Living from the Inside Out. Those are that's a great title for a book there. Can you tell me how you came across this book, Russell? How did this come about in your life?
Which book was that?
The Independent Seeker's Guide.
Oh, well, that was one that I wrote. And I just felt like, you know, the kind of people that I work with are the independent seekers. And so I just felt like I just wanted to tell them about maybe just explain a little bit more about the path that they might be on and iterate it a little bit more so they might understand what it is that they're facing. And so that's where that came from. It just really came out of wanting to help people. And even if people aren't interested in doing anything with me or doing a retreat, I just felt like, you know, I just want to give away something free to them. And,
well, that's a beautiful way of doing it. You know, it's a beautiful way of, you know, using your ideas and gift and following through. I think an important thing is when we're inspired. I think it's very important and you know, almost crucial to follow through with the inspiration when we are inspired in spirit. Russell, have you ever reached any plateaus? I know, you know, spiritual people, you know, we reach plateaus. Have you ever reached plateaus in your journey?
No, never reached a plateau. Yeah, I've reached plateaus, and also I've reached valleys and, you know, gone to the depths. I think that's part of the spiritual path.
Right.
And, you know, I must say for, you know, many years, one of my challenges is just getting in despair and getting into depression.
Oh, yeah. That's
and, yeah, I mean, for a while I thought there was something wrong with me. Then I started to read stories of other people that had been on a spiritual path and the spiritual teachers, and it became really clear that many of them experienced these dark periods. And, you know, for instance, Eckhart Tolle, you know, experienced a lot of depression. And, you know, I think it's part of the spiritual path. As I said, you know, when people have these insights or awakening experiences, what tends to happen is parts of the mind get dislodged and they start to surface. And it's like the shadow side of ourselves, the dark side of ourselves.
Right.
And in some way it's a way of testing the light within ourselves.
Yes.
And you know, it's testing our metal. It's testing our strength, you know. There's lots of times on the spiritual path where it can get really pathetic and ugly. You know, there's blood on the path, you know.
Well, I think
all just bliss.
Right.
And
that helps
the
people.
Other thing I think about this is when we go through these periods, what happens to us is there's a purification. We become more authentic and real. And, you know, when we face the darkness and we experience these difficulties, and so our authenticity, it's almost like there's this deal with the truth. If you want the truth, you have to be real. You have to be authentic. And you can't get there by being a phony.
No.
And so the truth says, okay, you want me? I'm going to throw stuff at you, and you're going to have to be real. You're going to have to be human. And for me, the spiritual path is a lot about embracing our humanity. It's really not about this whole thing about transcending, you know, ascending. Certainly, there's periods where you go into wonderful bliss. But it's also contrasting periods where there's you know, a lot of darkness as well, you know.
Can you do you
along the way?
Well, can you confirm that, you know, these experiences you had that are dark, you know, within yourself? Can you confirm that you use your wisdom when you when you confront someone who's who wants your help and had similar experiences? I mean, do you apply your knowledge of being there already?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know that behind the dark, or you might say the shadow side of every individual, behind the struggle, there is this divine individual. You know,
right.
There is who we really are deep down inside. And, you know, I can be in contact with that. I see that in that other person. Even though there's this mind getting thrown up, I know behind every one of us, there is this true self that's struggling to be free. And there's an old saying, I think comes from Chinese, you know, that there's a sovereign in every one of us. And when we notice it, it will come out. And so in a lot of the work that I do is I just know, you know, just from direct experience, that others are the same as me. There is this divine individual there. And, you know, and the mind is just a made up. What's real is this, the oneness within all of us. And so, I just have a lot of confidence that when I work with people, that that part of themselves is going to come out more and let go of what is holding them back.
Beautiful. Russell, you've been in this for 30 years now of your life, your journey. Can you tell us anything about a collective awakening that you've been noticing in the past 30 years, even the past 5 years?
It's incredible. I think there's definitely more and more people waking up to their true self, and there's definitely you know, a struggle going on where people are, you know, letting go of all this idea that, you know, what's outside of us is going to fulfill us. There's a certain amount of that might be true. You know, we all need to survive and have our basic needs met and a little bit more in life. But, you know, who we really are is not what we have. You know, in Canada, we have this beer called Canadian. It's Molson's Canadian. And there's a statement, you know, they put out, and it's got like, "I am Canadian."
Oh,
and,
I remember.
So you know, many beer drinkers kind of identify themselves as beer drinkers. So this, what I'm seeing is people are less getting identified with the stuff on the outside of themselves. And then there's this emptiness that happens. If we're seeing the emptiness of our culture, and that naturally leads us into start questioning, you know, well, okay, so who am I? What, you know, what's really going on in life? What is it that's going to really fulfill me? What is it that's going to give me the juice? And so people are looking inside, and they're waking up. And I see a lot of this. I every once in a while I have somebody calling me up and say, you know, I saw your website, and I've had this experience, and I don't know what it is, and you know, I talk to them, and, you know, it's like out of the blue, they've had this enlightenment experience. And so it's definitely, there's the consciousness is waking up on the planet.
Yeah, and I think, you know, people like you help assist that, you know, help with the I would call it the acceleration of that. So I commend you for your work and being selfless in your work and, you know, looking within yourself. You're a very, very powerful example to people who are starting and to people who have been in it for a while. I mean, you're a beautiful example for myself as well. You know, I carry what you say, and I know they're not just your, you know, I know they're not Russell's words because it comes from the divine. And so, absolutely, I'm right there with you. Russell, I'm going to hand over the microphone to Gabrini now. We have about 5 minutes left on our show.
Oh, so wonderful to talk to you. And
absolutely.
I kind of forgot that there were listeners. I just, now I realize they might be listening in, but I just really felt I was talking to you, and this was just really wonderful. I really, I really get a sense that you know what I'm talking about, not only, but you've experienced it. And I'm so glad you're doing this show, because this is your gift, too.
Well, thank you.
Your unique gift. Yeah.
Thank you for seeing that. I mean, you know, I thank the creator and all this, and our connection as well. I'm sure we're going to keep connected after this show. I think it's a brilliant friendship. It's a powerful one. And with that, I bid you farewell on my end, Russell, and I'm going to hand over the mic to Cabrini now, okay?
Okay.
Stay blessed, my friend.
Well, it's been an incredible ride here. I know it's been a really smooth ride listening to Russell Alan Scott here on Creative Consciousness Radio Show. You know, I just love it because when we have our show, Russ, we, you know, the energy that comes into our show is really, you know, very powerful. And sometimes, you know, our equipment goes down. And with you, it was just like a really nice, smooth ride. And that kind of says a lot about who you are. And also the people that are supporting the show right now, that are listening to the show right now, that everybody seems to be in a really nice, even unity. And for those of you that are listening, I want to thank you so much for being with us and holding the space in our chat room and for listening to us throughout, you know, the universe, wherever this is echoing to. There is by no accident that you are here with us today. Russell, it's been such our pleasure to host you on our show. And I just want to let our listeners know that Russell Alan Scott is living in Guelph, Ontario, and that you can reach him directly through his website, which is awakeningthegurunyou.com. And he does retreats. Is that not so, Russell? You offer retreats in Guelph? And
yeah,
you have a community there that supports
retreat that you can
people.
Read about on the website called the Coming Home Retreat, as well as a life purpose retreat. And also do one-to-one work called clearing. So they can read about that on the website.
Yeah, it's really fun to know that wherever you are, if you happen to be in the Guelph region, or even if you want to travel and you really need to just get away and get your head cleared, there's a place for you to go. And, you know, Canada, Guelph, I've been to Guelph, and Guelph is really a beautiful area. It's not too far north of Niagara Falls, for those of you that are on the border of New York. What is that, about an hour and a half ride, from what I remember.
Yeah, it's not too far, and it's about maybe an hour from Toronto, which is a major city, and where I do the retreats, it's accessible from the airport very easily.
So there you go, folks. And, we stand, side by side with Russell. We're all moving in the same direction. And we have heard the call that it is about really, really coexisting and co-cooperating with each of us together, bringing forth our own body and the gifts that are within each of us. You know, when I think of the body of spirit, I really do see a mandala. And it really functions as a whole. And that mandala, without one part of it, would be skewed. So each of us really do have the resonance of our own gift, and to become acquainted with who you are individually and bring forth that gift to humanity is why we're here. So if you are living a spiritually purposed life and you want to bring your message to humanity, we're here to help you do that. And you can contact us through our website at alltruenatural.com. There's a lot going on in our life. We're constantly busy. And what happens when you begin to listen inside and you're guided by the divine voice that lives within you, everything comes together. People are called together and drawn together, and literally your pathway is set before you. It's almost as if you're led on a directive path through the knowledge of the light. So we are so thankful, Russell. You've been wonderful. We are so pleased, and we give a shout-out to Barbara Andrews up there in Guelph, Ontario, who brought us together with you. And that's how it works, folks. You know, one hand helping another, and we all can create the world in which we all want to live. And thank you, Russell. We're just about to close, so we really, really bless you. And if you just want to hold on for a second, the show will be ending. We ask you to leave your comments about the show We ask you to visit the websites of both Russell and ours, and if you have one, share it with us, and we'll be more than willing to support you in your path. Okay, folks, you have a blessed, blessed evening, a blessed day, a blessed afternoon, wherever you are on planet Earth.